We know that we are called to tell others about Jesus. It's part of what it means to be a Christian. And sometimes that means going out to find them, to start up a conversation, and to show them why they need Jesus. But Peter shows us in our epistle reading for today that there are times when the opportunity will come to us, when others will ask us about Jesus or ask us why we do what we do. And we are called to be ready in that moment to speak about the Lord. Or as Peter puts it in verse 15, "In your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Now, sometimes that opportunity comes because of what we are suffering. Peter, after all, in his letter, is speaking to Christians who are suffering, those who were being abused for the sake of Jesus. Christian slaves, for example, who were treated poorly by their masters simply because they were Christians, or Christian spouses who were being mocked by the other, or even Christian citizens treated with suspicion by the government that they were under because they refused to go along with the world. The temptation in such cases is to give as good as we get, to meet evil with more evil, to be surly, to be rude, to mock in return, to revile as we have been reviled. And yeah, it might feel real good to the flesh, but if we do that, Christians, it means that we're no different from the world. It's what the world would expect us to do. It's not going to turn any heads. But when we honor Christ in our hearts as holy, when we walk in the way that he walked, when we do not revile when we are reviled because Jesus did not, when we do not mock when we are mocked because Jesus did not, then not only will God bless us and watch over us in those moments, but it will also draw attention. People will stop and notice what we are doing because it is so different from the world. They will ask us, "Why are you doing this? And what reason do you have for acting this way?" And when we follow after Christ, the opportunity to speak of him to others will surely come sooner or later. Let's say, for example, someone is mocking you. They're heaping all kinds of abuse on you, saying things like you're deluded or evil or a bigot or whatever the accusation may be. Throwing it right back at them is not going to do anything. Anybody can do the same. But for you to turn around and to forgive them as Christ forgave you, that is something that the world cannot understand. And then when you do that and they ask you why you did it, you can speak of the forgiveness that God has shown to us in Jesus Christ, his Son. Or let's say, for example, your boss or even the government commands you to do something evil. They're telling you you have to do something contrary to God's law. Of course, going along with it is something that anybody can do. Nobody will bat an eye. But to patiently refuse and to steadfastly and calmly hold on to God is something that the world cannot understand. Even if it means being fined or losing your job or something worse, the world will not be able to wrap their heads around it. And when they ask you why you're doing it, you can then speak to them of Jesus, who did not turn aside from doing his Father's will. But Christians, it honestly could be any situation. It doesn't just have to be things where we are suffering. It could be as something as simple as how we act in this world. Like not being ashamed to let others know that we are Christians. To not be ashamed to show his love through our words and our thoughts and our actions. Even something as simple as not being ashamed to pray openly. To let the light of Christ shine forth in all that we do, so that others will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Or maybe we're just going through some difficult time, a death or a disaster or whatever it may be. And if we as Christians remain calm and peaceful throughout, even laughing in the face of death, we can show that we belong to Jesus, because we know that no matter what we lose in this world, what we gain will be far more in him. And Christians, others will see that peace, and they'll ask you why. And then you can show them the peace that it surpasses all understanding. So being ready is important. We have to be prepared for when opportunity knocks. But at the same time, Christians, we also have to be ready to take the opportunity, to lay hold of it when it comes, to not make an excuse or to turn away in a hurry, but rather to use that God-given opportunity to speak of our hope in Christ. God has given us those moments when we can speak, and God will bless them too, so that they will bear abundant fruit, sometimes even far beyond our expectations. Let me tell you a story this morning, one that you will see is near and dear also to you, but one that will show what it means to take those opportunities that God gives. In the spring of 1883, there was a young pastor in Minnesota named Adolf Fotenhauer. And that spring in Minnesota was especially rainy. It had all kinds of thunderstorms, all kinds of storms, and it made for bad weather and even worse travel, especially because that was the days of horse and buggy. Now, it would be very easy for Adolf to make excuses, to say that, well, the weather was too bad, that it would be better to just stay home and to stay dry and to not risk life and limb. But Adolf laid hold of the opportunity. He made the trip, he met new families, and he established new churches, some of which are still in existence in Minnesota today. God had blessed his work. But on that trip, Adolf met a woman who had come all the way from Miles City, Montana, in order to visit her sister. And while he was visiting with her, she asked if a pastor could be sent to Montana to serve them. Now, of course, it would be easy again to make all kinds of excuses. Well, it's just too far. We're already spread too thin. And how do we know that it's going to succeed? But the district laid hold of the opportunity. And they sent a young pastor to make the trip from Minnesota all the way to Helena, almost 1,000 miles one way. And later on, Adolf's brother, Friedrich Fotenhauer, also made the trip, so that today there are churches all throughout Montana. God had blessed the work. Friedrich made that trip twice. He was often gone for weeks at a time. And on his way back home the second time, the train made a stop in New Salem. Now, it's easy to make excuses, of course. He could have said, well, he's just too tired. He just wants to get back home. He needs to get back to work. But Friedrich laid hold of the opportunity. and he made contact with families to the north. So that in 1886, we see the beginning of St. Peter, Hanover. God had blessed his work. Now, for the next 9 years, Hanover struggled to get pastors. Our first one served for less than a year before leaving again. And most of the pastors who came to serve us came from far away, some as far away as the eastern part of South Dakota. Now, of course, again, it would be easy to make excuses, to say, well, it was just too far, it's too much work, it's just not worth it, we should just let it go. But they laid hold of the opportunity. So that in 1895, another young pastor, Friedrich Wohlfeil, came to serve. And through his work, this congregation flourished. And he also established new congregations all over, including to the north in Mercer County, where he established several places which would eventually lead to the establishment of St. Matthew Hazen. God had blessed the work. And after Pastor Wohlfeil left, there were two pastors who came, Jonas and Ferdinand Matthias, father and son. And they served this whole field, Hanover, Otter Creek, Rosebud, and Mercer County. Now again, it would be easy to make excuses, to say, well, it's just too much work, there's not enough time, we have to focus on what's already here. But Jonas and Ferdinand laid hold of the opportunity. They continued to look for families so that they would add to this parish Judson and Youngtown. And the latter congregation would later move, building and all, into New Salem as Zion Lutheran Church. God had blessed the work. Now imagine, Christians, if all the way back in the spring of 1883, if Adolf Fotenhauer had stayed home and let the weather keep him away, would our churches be here today? Would we be sitting here listening to God's word? Or if the others, Friedrich Fotenhauer, Friedrich Wohlfeil, Jonas, and Ferdinand Matthias, if they had not taken the opportunities when they came, where would we be? God only knows. But they did not make excuses. They laid hold of the opportunities that God gave to them. And we are blessed because of it. We then should not be afraid to do the same. We should not hesitate to speak about Jesus when the opportunity arises. We should always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us. And God will bless our words so that we too will be a blessing to others, to the glory of his holy name. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, give us the opportunity to speak of your Son, and give us the words to say, so that someone may come to know you and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.